Do not let your hearts be troubled. This is Jesus speaking. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's pray again and ask him for his help. Our Father, we sung that your word is food for famished ones. And we want to come hungry and go away filled up this morning. Please would you help us to hunger for your word, to listen attentively and to be filled with the good things that we hear from what we're about to discover from this part of your word. Please, by your spirit, would you open up the scriptures and give us a feast this morning, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. If a friend asked you, how do you get to heaven? What would you say?
Jesus.
There you go. In fact, why don't you turn to the person next to you for 20 seconds and I'll answer that question. If a friend asked you, how do you get to heaven? What would you say?
You can use one word. You can use more.
That wasn't 20 seconds, but that's enough. I don't know if anyone's asked you that before. It would be a great thing if someone just literally asked you, how can I get to heaven? What would you say? Do you know what? Jesus answers the question for us very helpfully. And Hakim was right on the ball there. So look at verse 6. That's going to be our focus for today. We've had this series in the I Am sayings in John's Gospel. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Familiar words, but that is a monster of a claim. That's huge. I don't know, anyone know what this stands for?
The only way is Essex.
Yes, Joe, thank you. TOWIE, okay, TOWIE, the only way is Essex. I don't know if you ever saw The Only Way is Essex. It's one of those reality TV programs. I promise you that I have never seen an episode, but TOWIE, sure, Joe, you are right out of the blocks there. Like, you're a fanboy. TOWIE, yeah? The only way is Essex. But here's Jesus' claim. I have to change it a bit. Oh, there you go. TOWIE. Okay, so that's the thing we're going to learn today. If you just remember TOWIE, hopefully you'll remember what it means as well. Because Jesus says, the only way is Jesus. I am the only way to God. I am the only way to heaven. So Hakim, you were right in your answer. And we're going to discover what that means and the implications of that this morning. But I wonder how your friend, your imaginary friend, would... it might be a real friend. I didn't mean that. But the friend in this scenario, I wonder how this friend would respond if you said to them, TOWIE. If you said, the only way is Jesus. The only way to the Father. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. How would they respond? How does it make you feel? It actually goes completely against what most people believe and what they would say. Now, the world we live in does not believe this outrageous claim. You can't say that Jesus is the only way. here's an example. I think this is a good example of the way that we think in our modern Western, or maybe just modern way of thinking. Anyone recognize this? Natalia, do you recognize this? Welcome back, Natalia. Natalia's been in Russia, and this is in Kazan. Do you know what it is? Anyone know what this is? This is the temple of all religions. It's still under construction, but when it's completed, it will look something like that. And the idea is that each of those turrets, each of those domes, represents a different world religion. And it's quite a popular tourist attraction even before it's been completed. And the idea is very simple. We know the big message of what it's trying to say. It's trying to say, yeah, there's loads of different religions, but we're all basically the same. All roads lead to Rome. There's many ways to the same God. And it's not just in Kazan. People in our community think like this as well. Perhaps in conversations you've had. When we go out on the doors, when we knock on people's doors and talk to them about Jesus, this is one of the things that we hear most often. People say things like this. Everyone has their own beliefs, and that's good. Because at the end of the day, we're all humans, we're all brothers and sisters, many paths, same destination. Even religious people talk like this. I've spoken to some Muslims recently on more than one occasion who have talked like this. They say, well, it's okay to have your religion and it's okay for us to have our religion because we've got so much in common and at the end of the day, it's all going to be okay. People don't like tawage. You cannot claim to be the only way to God. If you do, you're discriminating. You're intolerant. You're unloving. So if we take Jesus at his word this morning, we are going against the tide of popular opinion. If we take Jesus at his word, people will think we're crazy. But if what Jesus claims is true, then it's the most important message there is. And what I want us to see is that even though this might be offensive, this truth is designed to bring us great comfort. And I'm sure many of us are here this morning. We say, I know that Jesus is the only way. I've known that since I was 2 years old. I believe this. There's going to be nothing new for me this morning. If there's nothing new, that's great. We need to be told the same things over and over again. But also, I want us to see that this is something that really does apply for us as Christians, not just for those who aren't. So here we go. Tawage. Jesus says, I am the way. Now, we're familiar with this term way. In fact, some of the roads around here are called ways. Anyone want to contribute a way? Say again. Montgomery Way. Is that somewhere around here? I don't know. It might be. It could be. Dean's Way. Some of you guys live on Dean's Way. Others?
Causeway.
Causeway, yeah. Causeway, that's up in Potter's Bar.
Wilbury Way,
Pycroft Way, Latimer Way, Hawthorne Way. There's lots of roads that are called way. We get the idea. A way is a road, it's a path. A way leads somewhere. So the way to Amarillo leads to Amarillo. A way leads somewhere. And so if Jesus is a way and a way leads somewhere, where does Jesus lead to? That's the first question. And the first thing to notice is this, that the where is a who. Look at verse 6 again. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way to God the Father. It's only through Jesus that we can draw near to God. In this series on the I Am sayings in John, we've talked about eternal life in the last few weeks. Life is a huge theme in John's gospel. In fact, he tells us that the reason he's written all of this down for us is that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing we might have life in his name. Jesus gave up his life so that we could have eternal life. Have you ever thought about eternal life? Do you ever just wonder what it's going to be like? It's astonishing. Imagine it for a minute. It's a good discipline sometimes to lift our eyes to what's to come beyond this world, to the realities of what's ahead of us if we're trusting the Lord Jesus. But sometimes when we do that, if you're anything like me, we end up thinking too much about what's going to be there rather than who's going to be there. So I think stuff like, you know, what will the houses be like? You know, will there be bacon in heaven? Think about it, because there's no death. Tony thinks there will be bacon in heaven.
Bacon trees.
Bacon trees. Oh, that's an amazing thing. Will there be will my favorite sports be there? Will my favorite music, what's going to be there? What will it look like? And it is true. The Bible teaches us that we are going to experience a real physical world. God is going to recreate a new heavens and a new earth, and it will be amazing, a real physical place to enjoy. But the most exciting thing about that new heavens and the new earth is not what's going to be there, but who's going to be there. Look how it's described in verse 2. It says, it's my Father's house. So the image is one of a huge house, and the house is going to be incredible, but what really matters is who it belongs to. It's like Buckingham Palace. I've never visited, but I imagine if you do, then it's an Chris has been. I imagine it's quite an impressive building as you go in and you're like, wow, these rooms are amazing, the architecture is grand. But really, the most exciting thing about Buckingham Palace is who lives there. That's what makes it cool. And Jesus says, Tawage. Not exactly, but he does say Tawage. He says, I am the way, the only way to the Father. I'm the only way to be close to God. Again, let's just take a moment to dwell on what that means exactly. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, we will be with God. This good God that we know a little bit of. We've had a tiny glimpse of his glory because he's revealed it to us. But we haven't seen it all. And when we're there, we will. We'll be right in the presence of the majesty of our God. We'll be up close to our Heavenly Father, face to face with the Lord Jesus. We'll experience like never before the joy of the Holy Spirit with Him, Father, Son, and Spirit. All of his power, all of his splendor, all of his beauty. We will worship him not from afar, but from near. Every square inch will be lit with the glow of his glory. Every breath we breathe will be in his life-giving presence. Every word we speak will overflow with his love. He will fill us with his delights. He will wipe away our tears. He will give us a feast. Every day will be filled with his joy. Every desire will be satisfied in him. And it never get old. And will never get old. We will be complete in him, and yet it will never finish. We'll praise him for his great wisdom that we never understood. We'll praise him for his creative power. We'll praise him for the cross. We'll rejoice in his voice to us. We'll rejoice in his salvation of us. We'll rejoice in his home for us. We'll rejoice in him. Amazing. We'll be with God. And maybe that's a little bit scary. Because if we know anything about God, and if we know anything about ourselves, then we know that we can't survive his presence. We can't get that close. You might know the story of Samson. The angel of the Lord visited his mum and dad to tell them that they were going to have a son. And his dad cried out. He said, we're doomed. We're going to die because we have seen God. And he was right to be scared, because God is scary. He's a lion and he's not tame. His pure holiness burns up anything impure. And our sin means that this is not a normal experience to be face to face with God. And when we are, we should die. We, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone has gone our own way. And our ways seem right to us, but they end in death. Our way takes us away from God. And that's why we need the way to get back to God. And so that leads us on to the second thing, the way. How is it possible to come to God? And the second thing to notice is that the way is a who. The where is a who, but the way is a who too. There's no physical path to God. It's not like if you build a tower really high, then eventually you're going to reach God. They tried that. It's not like if you went to NASA and stole a rocket. Do they keep rockets at NASA? I don't know where they keep rockets. Wherever they keep rockets, go and steal one, get infinite fuel and infinite food, and then eventually, if you keep going upwards, then you're going to get there. That's not how it works. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to heaven, and the way is a who. Again, look at verse 6. We sang this over and over earlier, so we hopefully will be able to remember it by the time we go home. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, I am the way. Not, I will show you the way, or I'm the only one who has the map to show you the way. I've got the postcode to plug into your GPS. He says, I am the way. To get to heaven, to get to God, you have to be with him. And if you're with Jesus, the way opens up. I've told you before about a visit to the Houses of Parliament a few months ago. Chris took us on a tour. Chris works there as a doorkeeper. And afterwards, we were planning to go to Prime Minister's Questions. And members of the public can get a ticket and sit behind the glass screen and watch what goes on. But Chris had a bit of a treat in store for us. So he took us up a back staircase, and suddenly there were no more tourists. There's a small upstairs lobby, and then a corridor, and a door which opens out into the chamber. Not behind the glass screen, but right there with the MPs and with the special guests and with the press. And you can see and smell everything that's going on. Now there's no way that I could have got there on my own. There's no way that they would have allowed someone like me through security. But Chris was my way in. All he had to do was a quick word with his mates, maybe a little, bit of chocolate or something, I don't know. Yeah. Well, you weren't there. But all he needed to do was say, actually, they're with me. And the way opened up for us. It's who you're with that matters. And Jesus is our way in. The only way we can come to God the Father is if we're with Jesus, his Son. And that's why Jesus says in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. I love that. It's a wonderful truth. Jesus right now is at the Father's right hand in heaven, but one day he will return. And when he returns, he's going to come and take all of his followers with him. He's going to give us access that otherwise we would never have. It's only if we're with him that we're going to get in. So Tawich, Jesus is the way. The where is a who, and the way is also a who. So why? How? How is Jesus the way? Let's dig into a couple of other verses. Look at verse 2. He says in verse 2, I am going there to prepare a place for you. How is Jesus the way? Well, Jesus himself had a path. He had a way to follow. And his way took him first to the cross, and then to the tomb, and then up out of the tomb, and only then back into his Father in heaven. Cast over this passage is a looming shadow, the shadow of the cross. That's where Jesus is going. And that's how he prepares a place for us. That's why he's the way. Our sin means that we can't be close to God. In fact, we're far away. We do things our way, not God's way, and our ways lead us further astray. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has gone our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. At the cross, Jesus prepared a place for me. He died instead of me. He took the punishment for all of my waywardness. And by doing that, he's prepared a place for me. My room is booked. I've got the confirmation email. When I die, I'm going to live there. Jesus himself is the way to heaven. Tawage. The only way is Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life. He is the only one who reveals God's truth to us. He is the only way who can give us true life. And therefore, he is the only way. Tawage. So there's the truth. That the only way is Jesus. But what does that mean? How does that apply to me? You know, before Christians were called Christians, they were referred to as those who belonged to the way. And so for those of us who belong to the way, if we take Jesus at his word, what will that mean for us? What will that look like? Three things, very briefly. The first is this. Don't contribute. Don't contribute. If Jesus is the only way, don't try and make your own way. You know, every other religion says, basically, that you are the way. So Islam says, if you live your life by the five pillars, faith, prayer, charity, fasting, pilgrimage, do those things and you will find your way to heaven. Buddhists believe that they are on their way to nirvana, a state which is free of suffering. And to get there, you need to follow the Noble Eightfold Path. It is down to you to live right and escape the cycle of karma and rebirth. You are the way. Even those of us who don't call ourselves religious probably have this sense that it's kind of down to us. You've got to achieve your way to a better future. And lots of people who call themselves Christians think in this way too. Perhaps some of us live as if we've got to get ourselves into heaven. And so I'll come to church lots and I'll say my prayers and I'll read my Bible and I'll say sorry to God lots and I'll try and be a nice person and hopefully I'll make my way back to God. Jesus says, you are not the way. I am the way. Stop trying to contribute. The only way that anyone can draw near to God is because Jesus has died in our place and risen from the dead. It does not rely on your performance in any way. So stop trying to contribute. Are you trying to make your own way? Stop. Trust him today and only him. You know, this is maybe again something that if we're Christians, we think he's not really talking to me. But I am. I think this is one of the biggest handbrakes on our Christian life. The thing that stops us from flourishing and growing. On Friday night, I was at a camp that I used to go to as a camper. I was speaking there on the last night. And afterwards, I was talking to two young guys, separate conversations. But they described this cycle of, you know, I feel like I'm doing really well. You know, you come to camps and things like this. You feel like you're doing really well. You're in the habit of reading your Bible and praying and going to church. But then I fall out of the habit and I get really discouraged. Maybe you can identify with something of that cycle, the up and down. It's going well, but then it's a bit rubbish. But can you see the problem? We fall into this trap of thinking that it's up to us to keep ourselves going. And so we set unrealistic expectations for ourselves, and then when we fail, it's a crisis of faith. But if we realise that the only way is Jesus, that will enable us to keep going to him, even when it gets messy. It will cause us to run to him and not from him. And so actually, I think for us to live flourishing Christian lives, to live for him wholeheartedly, we have to keep coming back to this truth that the only way is Jesus, that it's by grace and grace alone from beginning to end. That's not just how I'm saved, it's how I live as a Christian as well. The only way is Jesus. So don't contribute. Second, be confident. Be confident. Because Jesus is the way, it's going to be okay. The disciples, in this moment, they found themselves in a really scary place. Jesus had just told them that he was going to be betrayed. Their leader, their master, was about to be killed. And they're struggling to process it all. But look what Jesus says, verse 1. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Jesus says, I am the way is going to be okay. I'm going to go, but then I'm going to come back. If Jesus is the only way, we can be confident that he's going to get us there. The only way to God is through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And that sacrifice was the most costly thing you could ever imagine. And if Jesus has suffered that much to make it possible for us to come to the Father, then we can be completely sure that he's going to pull through. Jesus is the only way and he's not going to fail. He's not going to kind of pull out at the last minute and say, do you know what? I'm not going to bother going back and getting them to come with me. I'll just leave them to find some other way. There is no other way. Jesus will return. And when he returns, if you've taken him at his word, he will take you to be with him. So no matter what the devil might throw at us, no matter how shaky you might feel, if you believe that Jesus is the way, if you take him at his word, if you're trusting in him for the forgiveness of your sins, then one day he's going to come and get you. Jesus says, I am the way, and nothing's going to stop him. So be confident. Don't contribute. Be confident. And thirdly, don't compromise. Jesus says, towage. And we must stick by that, even when the world around us doesn't agree. And so we're back to where we started, with that temple of all religions. This is what everyone around us thinks. There are many ways to God. It doesn't really matter which way you go. But Jesus says, no, I am the only way. And please don't compromise on that truth. Your Muslim neighbours, your Muslim friends at school, they're religious. And most people would say, you know, in this day and age, that's okay, that's cool. They'll go to their heaven, you'll go to your heaven. Jesus says, no, I am the only way. And that's not a popular thing to say. In fact, it might well be illegal or soon will be illegal. But it's not me that's saying it, it's Jesus. And I'm going to take him at his word. I believe what he says. Your Muslim friends are not going to heaven. They're going to hell. Your atheist friends are not going to heaven. They're going to hell. Your Hindu friends, your Buddhist friends, they're not going to heaven. They're going to hell. Your friends who call themselves Christians but don't actually trust Jesus, they're not going to heaven. They're going to hell. And even some of us here this morning, I've said this to your face because you think that you're Christians, but you're not. You're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. If you are not trusting in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, you are not going to heaven. You're going to hell. And I don't say that lightly. It's a serious truth. It's a sad truth. But it's true. And because it's true, we cannot compromise. We must stick with it. At some point, we will all face this pressure to soften this truth and to say, yeah, Jesus is one of the ways. But don't do it. That would be unloving. If your friend is walking on a path that led to the edge of a cliff, you wouldn't say, well, that's fine, everyone gets to choose their own way. To deny that Jesus is the only way, that's actually what is unloving. Jesus says, towage. There is no other way to God. And so we must take him at his word, because taking him at his word is the way to life. So let me ask you as we close, will you take Jesus at his word? Have you asked him? Have you truly asked him to forgive you for your waywardness and to help you walk in his way? And if you have, then will you stand on this truth of towage? No matter what the cost is, will you tell others of this truth so that they might believe in Jesus and by believing have life in his name? An eternal life of enjoying him forever. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we thank you so much that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. We thank you that he has made the way through his death on the cross. We have access that we would otherwise never have. And help us, Father, to believe this, to take Jesus at his word, that we would not compromise on this truth, that we would be confident in what you've said. Father, please would you help us to take you at your word. Help us never to contribute to our salvation or even to our walk with you. Help us rather to trust what you have done for us and remember that it's only through you that we can have access to our Father in heaven. And so we praise you that we can come in his name, because it is in his name that we have this access in prayer. And we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.